Welcome to the Jed Breaks Bread Podcast. I am Pastor Jonathan Edwards, but my nickname Jed has been with me for the last 15 years. My goal is to encourage believers to have an orthopraxy as strong as their orthodoxy, that Christ might be honored and glorified through our lives. Good morning, and thanks for listening to the Jed Breaks Bread Podcast. This is episode 10. And we are continuing our series of discussions about shepherding your child's heart, taken from the book written by Ted Tripp. Again, this was a live Sunday school class that I taught at our church, the Grace Brethren Chapel. If you want to catch back up with the other topics in this series, you'll have to start at episode number one. Today, we want to begin examining one of the two methods that God has given for the correction and discipline of children. Now, when you go back and think through all the material that we've covered, you'll realize, if you take a big picture view, that God has given basically two tools to parents for the instruction and discipline of children. One tool is communication. The other tool is the rod. Now, these two tools must be used in conjunction with one another for total effectiveness. Now, you could use them one more than the other, or one neglected at the expense of the other, and you may get some partial effectiveness. But if you really want the total effect, the complete result, let's put it that way, that God wants to bring about in the rearing of your children, then what you need to do is have a balanced use in your household of biblical communication. We talked about that the last couple episodes, a lifestyle of communication based on God's truth, communicating God's truth, and then the practice of the rod. The practice of the rod. Now, we're going to talk about this today. We're going to define it very, very narrowly, exactly how the Bible defines it. Now, we understand from our examination of the culture around us that the rod, the use of the rod as a tool for discipline and correction, has fallen out of favor with the world and with Christians. And why is this? Well, it's because of abuses that have been purported by the church, by Christians, by non-Christians, and the general tenor of our culture, the general ideas that have shaped our culture in the last 30 to 40 years have viewed the use of the rod as a cruel and unusual and ineffective form of punishment. Now, you have to consider, that's what the culture says. It's cruel, unusual, ineffective. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said the rod is a tool that can be used to drive foolishness and folly out of the heart of a child. Now, why has the rod fallen out of favor, outside of it becoming, outside of the perception that it's cruel and unusual and ineffective? Well, there has been a major philosophy shift in the way that the world thinks about human beings. You see, the world, and when I use that phrase, I'm talking about unbelievers, people who don't know God, who maybe even have no knowledge of God. So the world refers to unbelievers. The world has come to view all human beings as basically good, basically moral. And the result of this is that they think human beings are born with a neutral moral composition. And you don't want to do anything that would cause them to go from a neutral moral composition to a negative moral composition. The reality is, from God's perspective, that philosophy is totally incorrect. No child, no human being except for Adam and Jesus ever had a neutral moral composition at birth. Rather, all people, every single person born in the world today, over 200,000 born every day in the world, are born with a sin nature and an innate desire to reject God and to worship self. This truth is plainly stated in the book of Romans. Paul writes, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Well, Paul, why do all people sin? He answers the question a few chapters later, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sin." You see, Adam introduced sin into the creation when he knowingly disobeyed God's command and ate the fruit that he was commanded not to eat. As a result of Adam's sin, the rest of creation, all of his offspring, all of the plants and animals, the very earth itself, and the stars, the galaxies, everything that's in outer space, all of creation fell under the curse of sin. And God promised what to Adam? If he were to eat of that fruit, that he would die. And that's what Paul says here. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned." Now, Adam died spiritually right away as he ate the fruit. He did not die physically for another 900 and something years. But he eventually died. And that has been the history of mankind from Adam to the present day. So a man is born, so a man dies. That is the evidence of the extent of sin in the creation. And God says that no child is born with a neutral moral composition. All children are born as sinners. All children are born as sinners. Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked." He's not talking about physically dead. He's talking about spiritually dead. You were spiritually dead in your trespasses and in your sins that you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that is, Satan, and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were children of wrath like the rest of mankind. You see, your child is not neutral. Even at 6 months old, 1 year old, 2 years old, at two, you definitely know they're not neutral. But that beautiful little baby and the feelings that are associated, feelings of love and joy and responsibility and a desire to be a caretaker, those feelings are not to take away or to cloud our judgment from understanding that the little baby that we hold is a sinner from birth. And the purpose of biblical communication and using the rod is to communicate God's truth to that sinner. You see, Proverbs 22:15 says this: "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. What is folly? In the Old Testament, and especially the book of Proverbs, folly and foolishness is used to describe the person who has no fear or knowledge of Yahweh. This means that the one who is a fool doesn't want to hear God's truth, follow God's reproof, submit to God's authority, and ultimately, if the folly is not driven out of him, will become a person who mocks the ways of God. Think about the implications of this verse then. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Is the child morally neutral or morally good? No, the child is a fool. The child will do everything in its ability to reject God and to worship self. And God says that the rod of discipline is a tool that is used to drive folly out of the heart of a child. Now, God is the one who has ordained the use of the rod for this driving out of foolishness. God is the one who ordained it, not me, not anybody else, God. And so that tells us something. If God is the one who has ordained the use of the rod, then God has also created intrinsically in the heart of every human being a correct response to the rod that will result in salvation for the child. Now, this doesn't mean that every child who's ever been spanked will become a Christian by repenting of their sins and trusting in Jesus Christ. But what it does teach is this, that when the rod is used according to the biblical standard and the biblical mandate, it points the child away from self and towards God. And God has, in his providence, in the mystery that we can't understand, designed within the human heart and the human psyche the ability to respond to the rod with an acknowledgement that there is a creator and that we don't just live for ourselves. Now, I can't explain to you all the intricacies of that, but I can tell you this. If Proverbs says that folly is bound up in the heart of a child and the rod of discipline drives it from him, then God, we can assume this, and it's a true assumption. God has established a method for teaching his truth and communicating his truth that will result in his glory and ultimately the salvation of souls. I want to take you to another passage in Proverbs. Listen to these words from Proverbs chapter 23, beginning in verse 12. Apply your heart to instruction and your ear to words of knowledge. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with the rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Pay close attention to verses 13 and 14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with the rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. So the command in these verses is to discipline your child with the rod. And the result of following this command is that your child's heart, your child's soul will be saved from Sheol, which is, in the Old Testament, the place of suffering and punishment where unbelievers went. Now, let's ask this question. If the purpose of the rod is to drive out foolishness, and foolishness or folly as is defined as not fearing God nor obeying his commandments, how is the use of the rod limited? I think that's a very fair an appropriate question that must be addressed by any parent who wants to utilize the rod. The answer, I believe, is this. The rod's sole use is for the loving correction of children who have disobeyed and violated God's commands. Let me say that again because it's so important. The rod's sole use is for the loving correction of children who have violated God's commands. Now, this means that there are times when it is inappropriate to use the rod. The rod is not for a parent to vent his anger or her anger upon the child. The rod is not for venting anger. If you are angry, you should not use the rod on your child. Put it down, walk away, come back when you are calm-tempered and able to integrate both communication and the rod in your correction and discipline. Second, the privilege to use the rod is not to be abused. So the rod is not just for anybody to use on your child as they see fit. My personal conviction happens to be that the rod is solely for parents, not for grandparents, not necessarily for teachers, not for other people. The rod is for parents to use because there is a special relationship between the parent and the child. And the rod is part of that special relationship. It's not all of the relationship, but it is a part of that relationship. And you'll find throughout the book of Proverbs that the mentions of the rod are always connected with fathers to sons, children and parents. And so the privilege to use the rod is not to be abused. It's not something that should be done casually. It's not something that should be flippant. It is something that is serious. And we'll talk about why it's serious in a little bit. Third, the use of the rod should never be divorced from biblical communication. You see, I began reminding you that God has given parents two tools, only two, for the raising of their children. One is communication, the other is the rod. And if you listen to the podcast that I did, the previous episodes on communication, you'll find that communication is to be something that is integrated into everyday life. It is something that is to take place moment by moment throughout the day. And so parents are going to spend 95 to 97 or 98% of their interactions with their kids will be communication-based. 2 to 3, maybe 5% of the interactions will be rod-based. But see, in communication, you are trying to teach the principles of God. You are trying to explain to your child a biblical worldview, the way that God views the child, the way that God, the expectations that God has for the child, the way that God views the parent, the way that God explains the relationship between parent and child. All of that communication takes a long time to explain and a long time to understand. And so a vast majority of the interactions between parents and children are communication. A small minority is the rod. But when you start using the rod, apart from biblical communication, you have short-circuited the means by which the rod is an effective tool to drive out the folly. You see, you use the rod when the child has violated God's command, teaching him that there is a consequence for violating God's command. Now, when the child is 2, 3 years old, you know, their consequence, the rod, it seems like a terrible thing. But you have a child that grows up, 25 years old, 35 years old, 50 years old. What's the consequence then for disobeying and violating God's command and living in rebellion to Him? Well, upon death, it is eternal condemnation, eternal separation, eternal torment apart from God. So, yeah, the rod is definitely a tool that drives out the folly from the child because it makes a connection between violating God's command and receiving a consequence for that. Violating God's command and receiving some temporary pain for the breaking of the commandment. But that is only a very temporary and short consequence compared to the eternal consequence of rejecting God altogether. There is no rescue from that. There is no going back after you die. Now, all of this is important for us as background information for using the rod. Let's talk a little bit about some situations that require some great thoughtfulness prior to using the rod. The first is, what is foolishness versus what is childishness? Now, this requires a great bit of wisdom and discernment on your part as a parent. You cannot, let me emphasize, you cannot be hasty in your application of the rod. And you ought to be very, very, very careful about using the rod for behavior that is childish versus behavior that is foolish. Now let's go back to our definitions. Foolish behavior or folly is that which rejects God's commands and disobeys the words of the Lord. So children basically have one command from God. One expectation. It's found in the Ten Commandments. It's restated in the New Testament. One command. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. That's it. Very simple. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, honor and obey. But we get the idea, right? That children have to obey mom and dad. And so foolishness, an example of that would be when you tell your four-year-old to pick up the toys on the floor and the four-year-old doesn't do what you ask them to do. When they don't obey, they have exhibited folly. They need biblical correction for that. Now, childishness. What is childishness? Childishness, in my thinking, is what a child does because they don't know the proper way to live and behave in the world in which they live. What that means is children are constantly doing things that parents find annoying. They're doing things that create messes. They're doing things that probably aren't the best thing to do because they don't know any better. God designed children to have an innate curiosity about the world around them. God designed children to have an incredible ability to learn about their environment and how to function within their environment. And so there are many things that children do that are childish that you may need to remind them over and over and over and over again because you're teaching them how to be a person who lives appropriately in the world, who follows acceptable norms and mores of society. A good example of childishness is often found at the dinner table, when children will eat certain foods with their fingers rather than using their utensils. Why is that? Well, when they're very little, 1 year old, maybe 9 months old, 10 months old, and they can start to have solid foods, we give them foods that they can pick up with their fingers and eat with their fingers. And so they've learned to eat food with their fingers because that's what we've taught them to do. That's how we've presented it to them. And it takes a while for them to break that habit. I've noticed it even with my five-year-old. She's 5 and a half. There are times when she chooses to eat certain foods with her fingers just because it's easier than using your utensil. But you know what? She has to learn how to use her utensil. Because adults typically don't eat food with their fingers. There are certain foods that are appropriate, but mostly we don't eat foods with our fingers, especially foods like green beans or mashed potatoes, right? So that's an issue of childishness. When we sit down at the table and she's using her utensils at one point of the meal, then she sets her utensils down and uses her finger, should I say, oh, she's just rebelling against her mom and dad by using her fingers again, and I'm going to spank her for that because she's rebelling against what I've told her? Or do I say, you know what? I think that she's just being childish. She's not remembering all the processes. She's not remembering what she's supposed to do. She's still learning. And she started using her utensils, and then she set them down for one thing, and then she picked them back up again. You know what you do? You say, dear daughter, you're doing a fine job feeding yourself. Thank you for doing that so I don't have to feed you. But remember to use your utensils. And also, don't wipe your mouth on your shirt sleeve. Use a napkin. Those are the kinds of lessons that you have to tell a child 100 times, 200 times, 500 times as they grow older so that they can learn how to be a polite adult who knows how to exercise appropriate manners and be respectful and mindful of others. There's a lot that we could say about foolishness versus childishness. And I don't pretend to know all the answers. In some ways, as a young parent, I'm still figuring these things out for myself, trying to understand the individual nature and character of my children and comparing that to the commands that I've explained to them from Scripture. So my overarching point is that before using the rod, really think about whether what your child has done is foolish behavior, that is, a rejection of God's truth and God's command, or whether it's childishness. Now, another question that comes up is, what if I have unsaved children versus saved children? What about using the rod then? Well, you see, the purpose of using the rod is to help your children move from being unsaved to being saved, because they realize through the correct application of the rod and through your communication that they're violating God's laws. And that provides a great avenue for sharing the gospel with them. All of our children start out unsaved. Let's just face this fact. It's very true. All of our children start out unsaved. And so you're going to have to apply the rod to unsaved children. If your children are saved, you still may have to apply the rod to them as they're older. But you don't not use the rod because your child's unsaved, because that violates the very reason why God says you should use the rod. Does that make sense? We use the rod to help our unsaved children understand that they're accountable to a creature, a being, who is greatly above them, and who has the power to control our eternal destiny. So we must practice the use of the rod, whether our children are unsaved or whether they are saved. Now, finally, another situation that requires great thought is, I have young children versus older children. And I think the way this is often phrased is, when is my child too old to spank? When is my child too old to use the rod? That's a good question. And I don't know that I can answer that question all the way. But I will say this, young children, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, should have the rod applied as the primary means of correction. You can't substitute timeouts for the rod. Doesn't work. You can't substitute taking away toys or taking away TV or taking away privileges for the rod. It doesn't work because those children in those ages don't think in those big picture terms. When is your child too old to spank? Probably when they're close to being as tall as you are, as big as you are. That could be 9, 10, 11 years old. What I would say is this. If you have an older child, let's say 9 years old, 10 years old, and they understand sin and the nature of violating God's command, and there is some other form of discipline that you can enact upon them that will communicate what the rod communicates, which is that when you violate God's command, there is a consequence that hurts. That's the point when you should stop using the rod for your children. Now, to be sure, there may be many situations where, as a parent, you feel like using the rod on your older children. But you got to go back and remember, the rod is not for venting anger. The rod is for bringing about an understanding of God's truth and the consequences of violating that truth. Make sure that you don't get those things confused. For young children, the use of the rod is imperative because they really understand obedience equals things going well. Disobedience brings about pain and discomfort. And they need to have that connected to the Word of God and to the person of God because they will always, always be accountable to God for their actions. And they will one day give an account to Him in judgment. Well, don't be disheartened or discouraged. Rather, you ought to be grateful that God has communicated in His Word the means by which we can help bring our children to the gospel of Jesus Christ through biblical communication and through the appropriate application of the rod. In our next episode, we're going to be talking about how to use the rod and what situations are appropriate and what does the Lord require when it comes to obedience. Thank you for listening. Again, I'm Pastor Jonathan Edwards, and I have the privilege to serve at the Grace Brethren Chapel. You can find us on the web at www.gbchapel.org. May God bless you for putting to practice His truth in your life.